Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Navajo Talk Radio, brought to you by Calnez Design and Politics on the Navajo Nation. It's purely Navajo. It's Diné, shining the light, blazing the path, standing for you, asking the hard question, bringing facts. It's Navajo Talk Radio. It's Politics on the Navajo Nation and hosted by Calnez.
Let's see, today is, just a few days from Christmas. Wow. But we're doing a show. Feels good to be back. I've been kind of in a hiatus, kind of in a political hibernation for a while, but we're back. Today, we only have a 3-minute show, and I listed it as Navajo Employment Preference. So I've been wondering about some subject matters that have been going on my Facebook group page called the Navajo or Navajo Politics on the Navajo Nation. So I've been going in there and listening to all sorts of topics, a lot of things sent to me, and I read up on a lot of stuff. I want to make sure that everything's accurate. I'm not trying to, you know, just go in there and make it a tabloidish website. I want to be about facts and not fiction. So one of the things that really caught my eye and really is my pet peeve, and that is the Navajo preference. There's a lot of us that don't understand exactly what Navajo preference means. There's actually two separate laws at one time almost meant the same thing. One is working for the Navajo Nation, Navajo Employment Preference. Okay? And that's basically if there's a job opening and there's a Navajo and a non-Navajo applying for the same position, there's only two applicants, the Navajo is going to get it. That's the employment preference. That is, if you're applying for a job for the Navajo Nation government. Secondly, is the Navajo business, which is now called the Navajo Business Opportunity Act. And for short, a lot of things that we do on Navajo Nation, it is basically, we use a lot of acronyms. And this acronym is called MBOA. And basically what that is that if there's a contract let out by the Navajo Nation government, two businesses are bidding on it, one non-Navajo and the other one Navajo. The Navajo business is going to get it. So in theory, that's how it's supposed to work. But there's a situation that is currently going on over with a company, and I suppose from what I understand is that they are a subcontractor to APS. It's that power plant that is right there in Four Corners, just south of San Juan River. And in short, the situation is there's I don't know how many workforces there. But because of the scarcity of employment on the Navajo Nation, everybody's fighting for a job. And while they're fighting for this job, they want to rely on certain laws within the boundaries of the Navajo Nation. In this case, it's about the Navajo employment preference. So as I understand it, the Navajo Nation or Navajo employees are being laid off because this company who is a subcontractor to ATS. And maybe they're, whatever the justification is, there's, I understand that they're saying that it's going to be a reduction in force. But according to the complaints, the reduction in force immediately they replace with a non-Navajo employee right in their place. Yeah, of course, it's reduction in force in the Navajo workforce, but the overall workforce remains to be the same, only that non-Navajos are filling those positions. Now, you as non-Navajos, whether you agree with it or not, the fact of the matter is that both in the business world and also in the employment world, those are laws legislated by the Navajo Nation government. And it is there to give us economic benefits, either individually or as a business, should we decide to become entrepreneurs, and that the money that is spent by the Navajo Nation government should be given to us. And why was that? So that our own people, several years ago when this law came into, when the federal government started weaning our people off of welfare, Medicaid, all of that type of stuff. And they wanted to go in there and say, okay, you know what? What are we going to put in its place? Well, what they did is they came with this law, which I think is a very novel, credible concept. I absolutely, totally agree with it. Now, it's just a matter of how you become and utilize this business, this law, in order for it to work so that it is beneficial to you. And therefore, any business within the Navajo Nation, in the boundaries of the Navajo Nation, whether they're Navajo or not Navajo, they should be able to go in there and hire Navajos. And why that this particular company, Aptum, / APS, Four Corners Power Plant, it doesn't sound like what I understand. Because some of the former employees, in fact, they're supposed to call in. I'm kind of disappointed that I haven't heard back from them because they assured me that they're going to be on the air, and I sent them how to get on the air. And so that they can share with us exactly what the circumstances that's happening to them over in their on their job with ATM and APS. So yesterday there's supposed to be another meeting with Aptum to talk about some of the job loss. Now, here's the thing that it really kind of just is a huge concern. Whether you're a politician or not, but just from the standpoint of humanity, you have a government, you have chapters, and you have agencies. You have local chapters. You have leaders, you have unions, you have all these things to rely back on as a Navajo employee. The first question is this, and this is what I wanted to ask this group that's supposed to be calling in. Is anybody from the Navajo Nation government showing up supporting you guys? Logic would say, if I was going to meet with Aptum / APS or any other non-Navajo company, I would have my president, the speaker of the Navajo Nation, my council delegate, two or three attorneys from the Navajo Nation government to fight on my behalf, and the chapter presidents that affect the areas that all these people are losing their job from, there should be almost nearly 50 people sitting beside me. And also people from the Navajo preference and also labor relations. In order to go in there and to tell APS, Aptim, any other company. I also read on Facebook, Navajo Generating Station, whoever it is, that we as the Navajo people should be either standing side by side or sitting side by side with our arms interlocked and supporting each other politically, employment-wise, and to be able to uphold our laws for our people. Now, is that happening? Are these, where is labor laws and where are the, maybe that's where Rick Nez comes into this. And I wanted this group who met with Aptim and APS to tell me if that is what happened, if there was a support base from the Navajo Nation government. Theoretically speaking, if you're going to use the Navajo employment preference, that is a law that should be upheld by the Navajo Nation government. If a complaint comes in, hold on one second here, then a certain department should be able to should be activated. It should be there. I'm sorry, I'm kind of getting distracted here because the guests are now starting to text me. But I hope one calls in. So, I mean, you understand what I'm trying to say here. And so not only that, it's the same thing that's happening with the Navajo Business Opportunity Act. The Navajo Business Opportunity Act is a law that covers all Navajo businesses who are listed, or, you know, this listing thing should be, how do I put it? Everybody should just go to list, but not get too technical on it. I think most people would know through, if there's a chamber, everybody starts to network with each other. You begin to know who is really legitimate and who is not legitimate. The Navajo Nation, I think that particular department, the Navajo Business Regulatory Department, should be able to monitor who is doing business within the confines of the Navajo Nation, but listed with the source list. So but what happens is this: a contract is let out from every department or from any department, all the way from central government to local government, which is the chapter house. And I've said this for 31 years as a business owner myself, is that I would like to have the Navajo Nation government come up with a software of how that they are beginning to register how these monies are being spent with every department and centralized to go back into Navajo purchasing and to the Navajo Business Regulatory Department and taxation. And it's all networked together, linked together, so somebody can sit there and say, okay, if XY department within the Navajo Nation has a contract going out, they have an X, you know, $50,000 or $100,000 set aside for marketing, whatever it is, that they're going to spend outside of the Navajo Nation government, they should be able to list that so that throughout the year, as the Business Regulatory Department is looking through, they should be able to push a button, look on the screen, and say the XYZ company has hired a Navajo company, or did they? So you go through, you start monitoring, match up the funds with the money. You just don't, as Navajo Council delegates or the Navajo Nation, you just don't chop up the pie during the opening of every fiscal year or the following year, and then chop up the pie financially for every department, and then send the money out and just leave it be. That's where this Navajo Business Opportunity Act comes into play. And I've always said it, when there's a preference law, I'm not the one that said it. It's the Navajo leaders and the government who did it several years ago, and I'm only here because I'm a business person who happens to come across this, and I want to utilize this law. And so the same thing here. Here's the Navajo employment. Should these people be standing out there picketing on their own, spending dollars on their own, when a certain company is not enforcing? And the Navajo Nation then lacks the resources or the department or the manpower to be able to send people out there on Eastern Navajo, Western Navajo, Southern Navajo, Central Navajo, wherever it might be. You know, and that's where this particular question comes in. So, ladies and gentlemen, I was really hoping that we can have a good, healthy discussion about, well, I'm talking about it, so I guess that's good enough. But I really wanted the guests about how that this particular situation is going down over in New Mexico with APTM and APS, Four Corners. So again, from my pet peeve, and it should be your pet peeve, it should be the president's pet peeve, it should be the council delegate's pet peeve, it should be the speaker of the Navajo Nation Council's pet peeve, it should be the chapter's pet peeve, it should be every employee on the Navajo Nation who is looking at this Navajo employment preference should be there to say, you know what? There's a law that protects me on my homeland, and you should be standing beside me, supporting me, and telling this non-Navajo company to honor this law. And if they are not, there should be some sanctions against them. Pay more money. Whatever it is, I would put sanctions against them. And eventually, if they are not abiding by these laws, you know what? I'm sorry, but you are not going to be allowed on the Navajo Nation. We are going to confiscate the equipment, whatever it is. Our people will learn how to run this business. So it could turn to something else, but I hope not. I hope that these Navajo employees, welders and such like that, over in APS, Four Corners Power Plant, and APTM, that they're not out there alone, spending their own dollars to be able to defend themselves. If the government is so concerned, if the leaders are so concerned about Navajo employment and workforce to make sure that the number doesn't increase beyond 70% of unemployment, they should be standing out there doing this and helping these people. You know, to me, it's a no-brainer. So, we will see. And I will also call the Navajo Nation and find out where they are and have they heard about this thing. I'm just going to make some cold calls, and I'll do it online also. So we only have about 10 minutes, and if any of you out there listening to my voice, please give me a call. I want to hear your opinion. I want to hear what you think. You know, some people I heard all the way up to the top leadership within the Navajo Nation government saying that the Navajo preference should not be there in either employment or in business. Well, what I'd say to you is that that's your opinion. If you have been in the trenches, as I have, I'm only talking for the MBOA, and have done it for as long as I have, then you have the right to sit here and criticize me for saying I have advocated and support Navajo preference. So, it's just a shock that some of our own people are against Navajo employment preference and in BOA. If the Navajo Nation government can only utilize it and they can support their own people, I tell you what, that's going to be the foundation of changing the economic conditions on the Navajo Nation. But right now, Well, lo and behold, here's our guest. And we only have about 17 minutes. I'm going to have her introduce herself very, very quickly here. Sadie Calnez, and you listen to Navajo Talk Radio. Today we're talking about Navajo employment preference. So, Yate, can you hear me?
Hello. Hello, good afternoon, Mr. Nez. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Good afternoon, Mr. Kell. Now, this is Chris from New Mexico, just calling in on your show here to say that I'm a little static. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Well, no, you're coming in clear. We'll only have about 6 minutes, so we're going to have to make this quickly.
This is Chris from New Mexico, and I was just calling in regarding to your topic here, and I believe that the company should be able to allow the Navajo Preference Act and should abide and follow it, and I don't know why the Navajo Nation has not gotten involved in this issue in defense of, you know, the Navajo employees. And I think that, you know, there should be sanctions that should take place. And if they cannot continue to employ Native Americans, then I think that the Navajo Nation should, you know, put its foot down and maybe terminate the contracts they have with that company, because, you know, jobs are scarce on Navajo Nation. And I believe that our Navajo people should be taken care of.
Yeah. Do you think, what do you think about some people saying that they disagree with the Navajo Nation, this MBOA and employment preference, our own people saying it? What do you think about that?
Well, I disagree with that because, again, like I said, jobs are scarce on Navajo Reservation. Most of these companies or businesses that are operating the Navajo Reservation are going to have Navajo employees because, you know, they're built, these companies are built on our reservation. You know, they're leasing land from our tribe. So in a way, you know, they should be employing our Navajo people. And for the own Navajo people to say that, saying that we shouldn't have Navajo Preference Act in place for these companies, then they're short, I guess, in a way, they're prohibiting Navajos from obtaining jobs from these companies.
Yeah,
and you,
exactly.
Navajo Nation government people.
Yeah, And it's also, you know, the thing that, you know, that I don't understand also when people say that too is that, like, for instance, like in the case of the Navajo Business Opportunity Act, you know, like I'm a business owner of, you know, over 30 years, and I've got people who, I have to go through, in my opinion, 10 more hoops more than a non-Navajo business who just comes in and says, hi, I'm here to submit a bid on this particular project. But over here, Calnez, okay, why don't you, you need to do this, this, and this, and this, and this, in order, are you, how legit are you? They don't give the same sort of a thing with this non-Navajo business. You know, I mean, that's where, I mean, I just don't see how that we as people are going to prosper, or our own people are going to give us the benefit of the doubt that we are willing to succeed if only given an opportunity. And I think these steps are one of those opportunities. What do you think?
Exactly. I think you're right on point with that. And again, like I said, I mean, it's more of the Navajo Nation putting limitations and putting more red tape on Navajo business owners. And I think, you know, when they create these laws, I believe, if I'm not wrong, that these laws would give Navajos more opportunities with businesses.
Yep.
Over non-natives.
Exactly.
And they need to be following their own laws that are set in place, because there are a lot of opportunities the Navajo Nation could take with businesses on the Navajo Nation, but yet they're giving it to non-natives. And in return, how is the tribe benefiting from these non-native companies and corporations? Are we getting money back to give to the people? Is it going back into any resources and so forth? And I think, you know, with all these things that are occurring, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say most of these non-native companies are actually legit. You know, they just, you know, agree to give, you know, people loans or give an opportunity to build on the reservation without, you know, again, without any sanctions or without any actual agreements.
Yeah.
To where they're going to, you know, help the Navajo Nation government or its Navajo people. And, you know, there are a lot.
Yep.
Of Navajo business owners out there that need the tribe to support them and to get these businesses going, because if we can get the Navajo
mm-hmm.
Nation to support its own people, I think a lot of these business owners that are Navajo are going to be successful. I mean,
yeah.
We can, you know, the Navajo Nation could
yeah.
probably have its own major jewelry enterprise, where they, because a lot of natives can make jewelry, they can make anything from saddles. I mean, they make a lot of things. Their Navajos are very talented. We have a lot of rug makers out there. And not only that, we have other people that make a whole bunch of good products. And, you know, and with the Navajo Nation limiting our Navajo people from doing so, you know, it hurts them. So, you know,
mm.
they end up suffering for it.
Yep.
Well, you know, it's easy for, you know, the other non-native companies to come in here. Okay, well, this is what we want to do. Okay, here, you know, we'll prove it. And that's kind of, you know, really unfair.
Yeah.
And
yep.
again, you know, it may be political with how these people are maybe getting, you know, some type of benefits that benefits them as politicians or whatever, but in no way I don't think it's benefiting our people.
I know where you're going with that one. And some of them, they call it being paid under the table to have our politicians look the other way. Is that way? Yeah, I agree
yeah,
with that.
Exactly.
There's a possibility of that. Yeah. So we only have about 15 seconds, and Chris, thank you so much, man. Your input was absolutely awesome. We're going to do this again and again, and we're going to make this – there's going to be more topics. Please call in, pass the word on to others, and thank you again, Chris,
okay.
for calling in. This is Cal Nez. You're listening to Navajo Talk Radio, and we'll be in touch. We're going to talk about this and make this thing happen.
Welcome to Navajo Talk Radio, brought to you by Calnez Design and Politics on the Navajo Nation. It's purely Navajo. It's Diné, shining the light, blazing the path, standing for you, asking the hard question, bringing facts. It's Navajo Talk Radio. It's politics on the Navajo Nation. And hosted by Kel Nez.